Well, let's take our Bibles and turn to Psalm 71. Psalm 71 for our family Bible hour study this evening. I am going to teach on aging to the glory of God. How to age well. How to grow older well to the glory of God. How to live a forward-tilted life. Psalm 71. It's a great psalm, 24 verses in length. Join me in a word of prayer, and then we'll study God's word together. We come and ask for your blessing, O God, that you would help us as we study the psalm and the word of God to know how to grow older to the glory of God, how to live well, how to die well, that we would live a forward-tilted life. We pray for Peter as he teaches the young people on the omniscience of God. We pray for Jarrett and Jose as they teach the young children in the catechism. We pray for the power of the Holy Spirit to go with your word in this hour as it is taught in this place. In Jesus' name, amen. We are flying, Charles Spurgeon said, we are flying as on some mighty eagle's wing, swiftly toward eternity. We ought to talk about preparing to die. He said it's the greatest thing that we have to do, and we have soon to do it. So let us talk and think something about it, that is, preparing to die well. There was an era in church history, the Puritan era. They talked a lot about dying well. We want to die well. We want to live well, of course, but we want to die well also. The Puritans spoke of dying well. They were looking beyond the physical realm to the spiritual realm. For them, to die well meant that you die in a state of peace with God. That is, that you're anticipating the joy of being forever with Jesus Christ. Dying was something that they prepared for. It was something that Puritans prepared for. It's something that Christians prepare for by what J.I. Packer calls a forward-tilted life. A forward-tilted life, what does that mean? It's a life lived with a mind that is focused on the ultimate destination. We are to tilt your heart forward and tune your mind forward to glory so that the way that you live and the way that you think and the way that you conduct yourself, you are living for glory. It's like you have a forward tilt in the way that you're living your life. This forward tilted life is a life focused on the joy of being forever with God. And that is the reality that captures the heart of a true believer. If you and I want to die well, we need to live well. And we want to live well. We want to honor God with our lives. And we want to die well also. John Piper put it like this. He said, getting old to the glory of God means getting old in a way that makes God look glorious. It means living and dying in a way that shows God to be the all-satisfying treasure that He really is. I want to tell you the story about a man. I've told it before, but I think it's been a number of years. A man named Raymond Lull. Raymond Lull. He was a man who, in the 13th century, born in Spain, was a man who lived his latter years in life to be a missionary to the Muslims in northern Africa. There was a biographer, Samuel Zwemer, who wrote this about Raymond Lull. Lowell said, many men die of old age, the failure of natural warmth and the excess of cold. But he would pray. He said, Lord, if it is your will, I don't want to die that way. I would prefer to die in the glow of love, even as you were willing to die for me. In other words, here's a young 13th, or long ago, he was an older man, a 13th century Spanish man who said, Jesus gave himself for me. I would love to die giving myself for him. He said the dangers and the difficulties were many, but in the year of 1314, his love had not grown cold, but it burned all the brighter for the Muslims in Africa. And he wanted to see this little band of believers that he met many years earlier in the country of Algeria. So he crossed over to Algeria. It was on August the 14th. For about a whole year, he labored with a small little handful of converts that the Lord brought to faith through his ministry 23 years prior. There he is back in Algeria. He's an older man in his late 70s. He's serving God. He's serving these converts that he loves very much. And he was secluded with them, teaching them, training them. Finally, being weary of seclusion with these believers, he went forth into the open market in Algeria and he presented himself to the people as the same man that they met 23 years prior. It was like Elijah showing himself to a whole bunch of Ahabs. The aging man lived for the Lord. Lowell stood before them. As a man in his late 70s, he preached in the Muslim-dominated country of Algeria. And he threatened them with divine wrath if they persisted in their errors. He pleaded with love. He spoke plainly the whole truth. And the consequences, you could anticipate what would happen as he's preaching in the open air in this country, filled with the fanatic fury at his boldness and unable to reply to his arguments. Many people approached him. They seized him. They dragged him out of town and they stoned him to death. On June 30th, 1315. Here's the thing. Raymond Lull was in his late 70s when he went to the Muslim people. And he lived there for a year. He discipled these believers that came to faith 20 years ago when he was there. And he loved them and he labored with them. And then he went to the open square and he preached in the public. And then he gave his life for the Lord. He was like the aged Simeon in Luke chapter 2. He was like the elderly Anna, who was a widow to the age of 84. She served God relentlessly. So did Raymond Lull as well. In your Bible, think with me of the biblical stories of the man Caleb in Joshua chapter 14. Here's a man, Caleb, 85 years old. He comes to Joshua and he requests a city, an inheritance for himself and his people, the city of Hebron. And God blessed him because he followed God fully as an 85-year-old man. Enoch, 365 years old, walked with God. Job died an old man full of days in Job 42. David died a good old age and full of days in 1 Chronicles. Abraham died 175 years, a good old age, an old man and satisfied with life. Even Moses in Deuteronomy 34 was 120 years old when he died, and his eye was not dim nor his vigor abated. Right here in our psalm, look at Psalm 71 and verse 9. Look at our text and look at how the psalmist brings it out. Do not cast me off in a time of old age. Do not forsake me when my strength fails. Look at verse 17. O God, you have taught me from my youth, and I still declare your wondrous deeds. Even when I am old and gray, O God, do not forsake me until I declare your strength to this generation and your power to all who are to come. I think of Psalm 78. In Psalm 78, you have the fathers who are to teach the truths of God to their children so that the coming generation might know and tell them to their children that they should put their confidence in God and not forget the works of God. Turn in your Bible to Psalm 92. I love Psalm 92. I go to Psalm 92 often. It's a song for the Sabbath day. It's a great song for the Lord's day of worship. But look at the end of Psalm 92. Psalm 92, verse 14, speaking of the righteous men, those who are planted in the house of the Lord, they will flourish in the courts of our God. Verse 14, they, the righteous, will yield fruit in old age. They shall be full of sap and very green. Why? To declare that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. It was the Puritan Edmund Barker who once said this. He said, every Christian has two great works to do in the world. Number one, to live well. Number two, to die well. To live well and to die well. May those be your spiritual ambitions as well. My spiritual ambition. It's never too early to start preparing to die. We do well to think often of our death. What are some practical ways that you and I can become well prepared for the last moments that we have on earth? How do you live well? How do you age well? How do we die well in the Lord? How do we grow old to the glory of God? Whatever age somebody may be here. The question is not what age you are now. The question is, how do we give our life and age every day that God gives us, however long, however many years God may give us? How do we age to the glory of God? How do we maximize our lives for His glory in these years that He gives us on earth? Well, Psalm 71 is going to give us six ways to ensure that you age well in your life. Six ways to ensure that you age well. Nothing I'm going to say in the next few minutes is going to be new. Nothing is going to be a shocker to you. You can glance at the main headings. These are sort of obvious. All of the Bible would support these. But go with me through Psalm 71 and let's look at how to age well from the older man in Psalm 71 who gives us counsel. Number one, how do you ensure that you age well? Number one, knowing God. We want to be knowing God with our lives. Verse one. In you, O Lord, I have taken refuge. Let me never be ashamed. In your righteousness, deliver me and rescue me. Incline your ear to me and save me. You know, your depth of knowledge of God affects everything. The depth of your knowledge of God, it will literally affect everything in your life. It'll affect everything, every single thing in your life. The way that you think, the way that you talk, the way that you live, the way that you respond. In good times, in joyous times, in trying times, in suffering times, your knowledge of God and the depth of your knowledge of God will affect everything. Look at the man right here in verse 1. He says, in you, O Jehovah. It's all capitals. Yahweh God. He knows this covenant-keeping God. In you I have taken refuge. Let me never be ashamed. And then in verse 2, in your righteousness, you deliver me and you rescue me. You incline your ear and save me. God is Jehovah. He is refuge. He is righteous. He is the rock. He is the fortress. He is, according to verse 3, he is a rock of habitation. End of verse 3, he is a rock and he is the fortress. In verse 19, he is a God of righteousness. Verse 22, he is the Holy One of Israel. He knows this God. Your knowledge of God will guide you and guard you as you age in life. Knowing God's person and knowing God's promises will be like a house for you. It'll be like a house where it'll keep you safe and secure on the inside, and it will keep the enemies and the temptations outside. Know God. Keep growing in your knowledge of God. Charles Spurgeon said, God kisses away the fear of aging with his promises. He kisses away the fear of aging with his promises. This is why Paul wrote in Romans chapter 4 this remarkable little section right in the middle of a theological portion on justification by faith and being credited with the righteousness of Christ. Right here in Romans 4:19, we learn about Abraham contemplating his own body, now as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old. He was aging in the deadness of Sarah's womb, yet with respect to the promise of God, Abraham did not waver in unbelief. But he grew strong in faith, giving glory to God, being fully assured that what God had promised, he was able to perform. We want to be like Abraham. We want to be growing older. We want to be aging in our lives, in our knowledge of God, in our deep knowing of God. We want to know this God and study this God and love this God, just like the psalmist is right here in verses 1 and 2. How do you age well to the glory of God? How do you age? How do you grow older in a way that is pleasing to God? Number one, be knowing God. Number two, be memorizing Scripture. Be memorizing Scripture. Feed in the Word. Eat the Word. Digest the Word. Nourish yourself in the Word. It's one thing for you to put food in your mouth and spit it out. It's another thing for you to put food in your mouth, swallow it, and digest it. Like a child who would take a handful of candy to put in his pocket and eat throughout the day, so may we take the Word so that we can eat and nourish on it throughout the day in our lives. Look at verse 3. The psalmist says, "Be to me a rock of habitation." This is biblical phrases. The psalmist knows his Bible. God often called himself the rock, even back in the book of Deuteronomy. God is the rock of habitation to which I may continually come. You have given commandment to save me. You are my rock and my fortress. I think the psalmist is saying, I know the biblical revelation. I know what Moses wrote in Deuteronomy. You are my rock. You are my fortress. I know the biblical truth. You and I memorize roads. You and I memorize paths to get us from our homes to various places so that we don't get lost, right? May we memorize truths of Scripture to prevent us from getting lost in our day-to-day lives. Think of David in Psalm 119, verse 11. Your word I have hidden in my heart so that I may not sin against you. Think of David in Psalm 40 and verse 8 when David said, your law is within my heart. Interestingly, Hebrews 10 quotes that about Jesus. Your law is within my heart. Listen to Psalm 37 verse 31. It says of the believer, the law of his God is in his heart and his steps do not slip. May that be true, that God's word would be in our heart, so that our steps would not slip. How do you age to the glory of God? Well, we want to be knowing our God and we want to be memorizing Scripture. Start small, maybe start in a psalm. Maybe make it a point each week or each month to get a small portion of Scripture and memorize it and hide its truths in your heart. Maybe start with a book like 3 John that we just studied. Maybe go to a small portion in John chapter 1. Maybe you could go to Romans chapter 5 or Romans chapter 8 and feed your heart and your soul with memorizing Scripture. It's no wonder the Puritans would often say this, young and old, you should be ready and prepared in the Scriptures like a ready warrior, so that you can draw out of your quiver a fitting arrow for every situation in life. May we know the Bible and hide the Bible in our hearts so that we might be able to, like an arrow, pull it out for any occasion in life. How do we age the glory of God? Number one, be knowing God. Number two, be memorizing Scripture. Number three, be pursuing contentment. How do you grow and age to the glory of God? Pursue contentment. You know, everything that comes in your life, everything that comes to you in your life, doesn't just come by itself. For you as a believer, God brings everything into your life with His loving hand. And He brings everything into your life with His glorious promise that He will grow you and sanctify you and mature you, not only in it, but through it, and bring you safely to His heavenly kingdom at the very end. You can rest and you can be content in knowing that everything that comes in your life, everything, comes from the loving and the kind and the fatherly hand of a benevolent Father. Well, how do you pursue contentment? You say, Jeff, it's easy for you to say, be content. How? How do I live a content life? What does it look like? The psalmist is going to spell it out for us right here in your outline. You have these five keys to being content. Look with me right here at verse 4. Number one, continued prayer. How do you grow in contentment? What are the keys? Number one, by continued prayer. Verse 4. Rescue me, O my God, out of the hand of the wicked. Well, he could grow anxious, he could grow worried, he could grow frustrated, he could grow bitter, he could be angry with God, he could rebel against God, he could turn his back against God. No, he goes to continued prayer. Rescue me, O God. How do we grow in contentment? How do we maintain? How do we cultivate contentment? Number one, through continued prayer. Number two, through an upward focus. This is key. Go to God. Don't grumble. You say, easy to say that. What do you mean? Look up to God. Don't look inward. Don't look around at external situations and the changing things of life. Focus on the one who does not change. That's how we grow in contentment, by having an upward focus. That's what the psalmist does. Rescue me, O my God, out of the hand of the wicked. Here's an elderly man who's writing the psalm, and we get a little glimpse into his life. He's got wicked people that are going after him. But he's continuing in prayer, and he has an upward focus. Third, he has an active reliance. An active reliance. Look at verse 5 of our psalm. Our English doesn't bring it out, but in the Hebrew, it's emphatic. You alone are my hope. The emphasis is on God. You and I, how do you grow in contentment? You need to actively, daily, deliberately put your reliance upon God. That's what the psalmist does in verse 5. You alone are my hope. Not my health. Not my comforts, not my family, not my finances, not my job, not society, nothing like that. You are my hope. It's active reliance upon God. How do we cultivate contentment? What is the first key? Continued prayer. Number two, upward focus. Number three, active reliance. Number four, past deliverances. What do you mean? End of verse 5. O Lord God, you are my confidence from my youth. Verse 6. By you I have been sustained from my birth. You are he who took me from my mother's womb. What does that mean? How do you not grumble and not complain? And yet how do you pursue contentment? You remember the past deliverances of God. God, you've been faithful every day of my life since I was a young child. You've been faithful to me. You're rehearsing. You're remembering. You're going back to what God has done in the past and how God remains faithful to you in the present as well. Not only past deliverances, but finally, number five, daily praise. Now, look at the very end of verse 6. My praise is continually of you. But wait a minute, don't forget the situation. You say, well, that's easy for him. He's the psalmist. No, no, no. Look at verse 4. Rescue me out of the hand of the wicked, out of the grasp of the wrongdoer and the ruthless man. So here's an elderly man, aged in years, and he's got wicked, ruthless people that are pursuing him in life. And yet at the end of verse 6, he says, but my praise is continually of you. He may not feel like it some days. He may not want to do it some days. He may not feel emotionally all there to praise God. But yet he makes this daily resolution, this daily resolve, this daily commitment. My praise is continually of you. That's where it has to be. Our praise is of God. How do you pursue contentment? Remember that you are loved by God. Remember that you're sanctified by His Spirit. Remember that you're a recipient of God's grace. Remember that you are bought by the blood of Christ. Remember that you are an inheritor of heaven. This is a great reason for you and for me to be content. We can be content. How do we age to the glory of God? We want to be knowing God. We want to be memorizing Scripture. Third, pursuing contentment. Pastor, Puritan pastor Jeremiah Burroughs wrote a book, The Rare Jewel of Christian Contentment. He said this, every comfort that the saints have in this world is a down payment to them of all of the eternal mercies that the Lord has provided for you. Every little blessing, every mercy that you enjoy in this life, it is but a down payment that God has given to you of all of the eternal mercies that God has promised to already give to you. You can pursue contentment. You can rest in this God. You can rely upon Him and be confident in His perfect, perfect character. How do we age the glory of God? That leads us to number 4. Be loving your church. Loving the church. Loving the church. It's just a pastoral word to everyone as we grow older. As you age, continue to engage. Don't grow distant. Don't grow distant from the people of God, but be more devoted to the people of God. Aging saints are not useless. No, no, no. You're useful. Aging people are not a nuisance, but aging people are necessary. You're not a hindrance to the work of God. Your importance, your helpfulness cannot be overstated in the Word of God. Well, how does the psalmist bring it out? Look at verse 7. What do you mean loving the church? Look at verse 7. Look at the example. I have become a marvel to many, for you are my strong refuge. People are looking at you. They're looking at your life. And like the psalmist, I've been a marvel to many people. Wow, look at what God has done in and through that person. Through your example is a powerful, powerful teaching tool. Look at verse 8. My mouth is filled with your praise and with your glory all day long. May it be that as you age, every year of your life, that your words would be an example to the body of Christ. Look at verses 9 to 11. Look at your steadfastness and your endurance. Do not cast me off in the time of old age. Don't forsake me when my strength fails, for my enemies have spoken against me. And those who watch for my life, they have consulted together, saying, God has forsaken him. Pursue and seize him, for there is no one to deliver. But here he is. He's faithful. The old saint right here is steadfast. He's not turned his back on God. He's not rejected God. He's not given in to the wicked. He's enduring. He's persevering. He's faithful. Look at verse 12. Notice this in verse 12, the prayers. Oh God, do not be far from me. Oh my God, hasten to my help. You know, we need to be diligent in example, in words, in steadfastness, in our prayers, in the context of the church, the gathering of the people of God. Look at verse 15. We need those that are aging to be actively plugged in to the body of God's people. Look at verse 15. My mouth will tell of your righteousness and of your salvation all day long, for I do not know the sum of them. Verse 16. I will come with the mighty deeds of the Lord God, and I will make mention of your righteousness, yours alone. I love that. All of these verses here could show us the importance of loving the people of God, of gathering with the people of God and testifying of how great God is. We need that. We need young and we need old. We need everyone to be aging by God's grace and by the Spirit of God's power, that we would be aging every day, every week, every month, every year, that we would be loving the people of God, involved in the church of God's people. I love verse 15. May that be true of us. My mouth will tell of your righteousness. I want to serve in this church so that I can tell of God's righteousness. Verse 16, I will make mention of your righteousness. We need you to speak up. We need you to tell of how God has been faithful. We need you to boast of how God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. We want you to tell of how God has been so good and unchanging in his character and in his provision and in his love towards you. Look at this quote by John Piper. He said, growing old to the glory of God means using whatever strength and eyesight and hearing and mobility and resources we have left to treasure Christ, and in that joy to serve people. That is, to seek to bring them with us into the everlasting enjoyment of Christ, serving people and not ourselves as the outflow of treasuring Christ. That's what makes Christ look great. Love the church. How do we age well to the glory of God? Well, we want to be knowing God. We want to be memorizing Scripture. We want to be pursuing contentment. We want to be loving the church. Fifth, we must be mentoring others. Mentoring others. Maybe our society views the older, aging people as getting in the way and being a hindrance. Nothing could be further from the biblical truth. Verse 17. Oh God, you have taught me from my youth, and I still declare your wondrous deeds. And even when I am old and gray, oh God, do not forsake me. Look at the next word. Until. Until I declare your strength to this generation and your power to all who are to come. We need each other in the body of Christ. We need to be reminded from one another how God has been at work in your life. Like this man right here. He says, you have taught me from my youth, and even when I am old and gray, don't forsake me until I declare. I have a mission. And my mission is to mentor others. That's Titus chapter 2. The older men with the younger men, the older women with the younger women. This is important. There is a theme, there is an example, a thread all through biblical revelation of older saints taking younger saints and teaching younger saints. We need that. What does it mean to mentor? It is to declare the faithfulness of God by your example, in your verbal testimony, in your counsel, and in your prayer. Until, God, don't forsake me until I declare how strong you are and until I declare all of your deeds. I want to declare what you've done, O God, and I want to declare how strong you are. How can we do that more? How can Christ's fellowship be marked even more by this biblical idea of mentoring? May God work that in all of our hearts. God, how can you use me? Yes, there's a sense in which I can be discipled, but how can I disciple others? How can I, as I grow, as I age, as I learn, as I glean more, as I'm maturing in the faith, how can I declare the deeds of God, and how can I declare the power of God? Lord, help me to do that. May God help Christ's fellowship. That it would be just an interweaving, just a web, an interconnected web of men discipling men and women discipling women, coming alongside of one another creatively through the week, each month, that we would be involved in teaching and declaring and speaking and praying and proclaiming who God is in the lives of one another. Aging to the glory of God includes one other element here, and that's magnifying Christ. If you want to live well and age well to the glory of God, you must magnify Christ. Look at the end of the psalm, verse 19. He says, "Your righteousness, O God, reaches to the heavens. You who have done great things, O God, who is like you? You who have shown me many troubles and distress, you will revive me again. You will bring me up from the depths again." Verse 21, "May you increase my greatness and turn to comfort me." Verse 22, listen to this. "I will praise you with the harp." I will. I love that will. I may not feel like it, but I will praise you. Look at verse 23. "My lips will shout for joy when I sing praises to you, and my soul, which you have redeemed." Verse 24. "My tongue will utter your righteousness all day long, for they are ashamed, for they are humiliated who seek my hurt." We want to declare God's righteousness all day long. Magnify God, magnify God, magnify Christ. I will praise Him. I will speak of Him. I will shout for joy. I will speak and boast of my God. That's what Revelation 4 and 5 is all about. The throne in the heavens with the Lamb seated on it, as He is praised by the multitude in heaven. You know, it is true. Psalm 71 has a central theme. And that central theme is that of steadfast endurance in your aging years of life, in your latter years of life. One godly man put it like this. Listen carefully. As we grow older, life's problems don't go away. Sometimes they actually increase. New troubles must be faced in our latter years. Physical ailments with pains and limitations must be faced. Maybe loss of power and income can be sobering. Retirement can provide additional time and could allow the wandering mind to analyze potential problems and dwell on earthly anxieties. Loneliness, discouragement can quickly set in. The loss of a spouse through death can lead to despair. Loss of lifelong friends can compound the feelings of despondency. Watching a changing world that is disintegrating and becoming evil rapidly by day, by day, by day, just adds to your frustration. Many tests can come to our faith as we age, but in the latter aging years of our life, we need the Lord more than ever. So with that, there are a couple of additional pastoral words that I want to convey. Brief, summarizing, concluding words. As we age, as you age, to the glory of God, as you live well, wanting to die well, a couple of words. Number one is a passionate call. Number two is a promised comfort. The passionate call is Psalm 71. and verse 8. Psalm 71, verse 18. Look at verse 18 again of our text. Here's the passionate call, and it's this: that you would make God and His character so known, that you would declare the greatness of God. Look, our culture might say we don't need elderly people. Put them in the nursing home and quiet them up. The Bible says, let them speak forth. Let them declare the mighty deeds of God in the assembly. That is how the next generation learns. Look at verse 18. And when I am old and gray, O God, do not forsake me until I declare your strength to this generation and your power to all who are to come. That's the passionate call, that you would make the greatness of God known, that you would ask yourself this question: how can I do that? How can I make the greatness of God known? Not that I'm something special. Not that you're anything special. No, but our God is. And He has proved Himself to be faithful in all of our lives. And you have a history of how God has shown Himself to be providing and loving and benevolent and gracious and forgiving. And all the things that you need, He's given to you. Maybe not what you've always wanted, but what you've needed. The passionate call is that you would declare that. That you would declare that in the context of the local church. Pick a young person. Pick somebody who sits alone. Pick somebody that you don't know that well. Pick new people each month. And proclaim the great deeds of God and the power of God. It's the passionate call. But number two, the promised comfort. I want you to turn briefly with me to Isaiah chapter 46. Isaiah chapter 46, the prophet in this section of giving comfort to the people of Israel. I want you to gaze with your eye upon these verses. In your own copy of God's word, these verses are amazing and comforting and so kind of God. Isaiah 46, follow with me as I read verse 3. Listen to me, O house of Jacob. This is God speaking, and all the remnant of the house of Israel. You who have been born by me from birth and have been carried from the womb, even to your old age, God says, I will be the same. And even to your graying years, I will bear you. I have done it. And I will carry you, and I will bear you, and I will deliver you. In your aging years of life, those verses are greatly comforting because God is faithful. He's powerful. He's strong. He will carry and He will bear and He will sustain His people. So you as an aging Christian can say, I have no need to fear. I have no need to be afraid. I know that God will keep me. I know that God will take me home. I know God will lift me up. I know God will bear me up on wings like eagles. I have no need to worry. I have no need to be afraid. God has made so many promises right here in this section of Isaiah chapter 46. You know, Spurgeon said it well. He said, old age may rob us of personal beauty, and it may deprive us of strength for active service, but it does not lower us in the love and the favor of God. You know, I think it'd be a fitting way to close at this point while we still have the time ahead of us to think and to pray and just to ponder in our own heart, God, I want to age to the glory of God. I want to grow older to the glory of God. The Puritans would say, we want to die well, and to die well, we want to live well. Knowing God, memorizing Scripture. We want to be pursuing contentment, loving the church, mentoring others, magnifying Christ. God, how can I grow? Where can you grow? What can you do? What role can you fill in the people of God, in the assembly here, in the body of Christ here? That as an aging saint, you say, God, use me. God, use me to testify, to tell, to proclaim, to boast in who my God is and what my God has done. Even every week, you and I could testify of just the great things God does in our lives every week. May we be faithful to that. In conclusion, a man named Charles Simeon was a pastor of a Trinity church in Cambridge, England, a couple hundred years ago. He served for the pastor of this church for 25 years. And then at the age of 47, all of a sudden, he was struck with this sudden and poor health that just came upon him. It really confined him to a bed and much pain for quite long seasons. It lasted actually for 13 years, this period of suffering. Well, along the way, in his hard and really not very much appreciated pastoral ministry there at Trinity Church, he kept telling himself as a pastor, when I reach the age of 60, I'm finally going to retire and I'm going to have what he called a Sabbath evening. I'm going to retire. I'm going to rest. I'm going to slow down. I'm going to draw the ministry down to a close. Well, after being ill for 13 years, that's 47, now 60. Interestingly, when he was originally planning to slow down, God had different plans. Because God marvelously, you might almost say miraculously, took away entirely the physical ailment. In fact, the way that he wrote it in his journal was, I feel like I've been healed, like the woman suffering from a hemorrhage for 12 years who touched the Lord's garment, and I have been totally healed. That was Charles Simeon. Well, now he is 60 years old. Originally, his plan was to slow down. It was to retire. It was to kind of draw ministry to a close. And as he was reflecting and as he was thinking on this, he said, my health has returned to me at the age of 60 when I thought that my Sabbath rest would then begin. And he reflected and he said, wait. It's as if God has now doubled. No, he wrote, tripled. No, he said, quadrupled my strength so that I might spend my strength and all of my energies and all of my time on a more extended plan of serving God with great vigor in the final years of my life. He aged to the glory of God. He was planning to slow down. And God gave him the strength that he needed. God gave him the enablement that he needed. He aged to the glory of God. He lived a forward-tilted life. May it be, church family, that you and I would age well. May it be that you and I would have a forward-tilted life. And that you would declare God's strength to this generation and the one to come. Amen. May God help us in that. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the power of Psalm 71. We want to live well. God, we want to die well. And we want to age well to the glory of God. Help us to that end. For the glory of Christ, we pray. Amen.